Thank you very much for the invitation. So today I'm going to talk about conformal geometry of random surface in 2D quantum gravity. Okay. First of all, so I want to clarify what do we mean by 2D quantum gravity. As a probabilist, quantum to me just means random, and gravity just means geometry. So 2D quantum gravity, to me, it means random 2D geometry. More precisely, it means construct and study natural probability measure on the space of all possible geometries over a surface of a given topology. So we all know that there are many motivations from theoretical physics to study 2D quantum gravity. First of all, it is a non-trivial toy model for 3D and 4D quantum gravity. And it is a perturbative formulation of bosonic string theory. And it's also related to non-abelian gauge theory through gauge string duality. So there are several mathematical aspects of 2D quantum gravity. Today, my focus is the random conformal geometry on surfaces, which is now known as Liouville quantum gravity in probability community.
I think your slides are not progressing. We can't see.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
So my slides was not progressing?
You're still on the title page.
I see. Let me see.
It's also showing his video. He's probably on full screen on his computer.
So let me just try to reshare my screen.
That's better. Yeah, thank you.
It work now?
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay, so it's working now. Okay, so so the first slide was just introducing this 2D quantum gravity, which is random 2D geometry. And so the starting point of the subject is from Polyakov's famous paper in bosonic string theory. And in this paper, he said that it is very important to develop an art of handling some of random surfaces, replacing the old-fashioned and extremely useful sum of random path. And it is always a mathematical challenge to do probability theory on an infinite dimensional space. So notice that although we are talking about random surface, which is only two dimension, but we are considering all possible geometries, so it is still infinite dimensional space. And before we focus on the surface, let us first review how it is done on the case of random path. Okay, so let us consider this question. What is a canonical way of choosing a continuous function on the unit interval with ending point equals zero? So the first way of doing it for a probabilist is to consider the scaling limit of a random walk. So this this picture is generated by a computer where the computer is sampling simulating a random walk going up and down with equally probability and returning to zero. And as the number as the size of the random walk goes to infinity, and if we rescale the time and space properly, we will get a limiting continuous random function. And this limiting random function is what we call Brownian bridge. This is one construction of the Brownian bridge. So the other construction of the Brownian bridge is through a Hilbert space. So we can consider the Brownian bridge as a random function selected from this Hilbert space, and the probability that one function is chosen is proportional to this probability density. But we know from the picture in the last slides that the Brownian bridge is almost surely nowhere differentiable. So how to make sense of this mathematically? What we can do is we can consider the Fourier expansion. So here, this En is the orthonormal basis of this Hilbert space, and And then this probability density can be written as this infinite product. Then consider a sequence of independent standard Gaussians. Then this random Fourier series, we can show that it has a almost sure limit, and the limiting random function is exactly the Browning bridge. Okay, this is the second construction of the Browning bridge. Okay, so now let's come back to the problem of constructing a natural probability measure on the space of all possible geometries over a surface of given topology, which is a goal of 2D quantum gravity. So for concreteness, we just focus on a particular goal, which is constructing a canonical random variable where this is a metric space with the disk topology, and the mu is a interior measure with total mass one. And the nu is the boundary measure with total mass one. And we will call this random variable the Browning disk with unit volume and boundary length. We can also consider Browning surface of other topologies, but a non-simple topology will lead to some further complication, and I will only come to that at the end. Okay. So what is a canonical random surface in 2D quantum gravity? So here we consider the M to be the space of all the simply connected 2D Riemannian manifold with both volume and boundary length equal to one. Then similar to the Browning bridge case, the Browning disk will not be a smooth manifold in this whole space M, but we can still write down its probability density formally according to physics principles as in the Browning bridge case. And here, the density of the Browning disk should be this e to the minus this so-called Einstein-Hilbert action in general relativity. But on the other hand, according to the Gauss-Bonnet theorem, this Einstein-Hilbert action of a manifold is only depends on topology. So in our case, is a constant. And that means the Browning disk is just the random variable chosen from M uniformly at random. Okay, this is the formal definition of Browning disk. Any questions so far? Okay. So here is a slide reviewing the basic concept in conformal geometry. So suppose this M is a simply connected Riemannian manifold with a disk topology. And suppose this omega is a Jordan domain, which is a domain with boundary given by simple closed curves. Then it's always possible to find the function G so that this abstract Riemannian manifold is isometric to this concrete metric form. And we call this isometry conformal embedding from this abstract Riemannian manifold to this concrete Jordan domain. And we call the corresponding function G the logarithmic conformal factor. So this is a consequence of the uniformization theorem and the Riemann mapping theorem. And the conformal embedding is unique once we fix the image of the three boundary marked point. Okay. And the very important notion in conformal geometry is the so-called conformal coordinate change. So here, suppose we consider two Jordan domains related by a conformal map. And then suppose this G tilde and the G is related as follows. Then these two conformal geometry, they are isometric. So we should think of these two as the two different conformal coordinates of the same abstract Riemannian manifold. Okay, so here, so now here is the Polyakov's vision of Liouville quantum gravity in our language. So basically, it says that the pure Liouville quantum gravity is the Browning disk under the conformal coordinate. More precisely, the conformal coordinate of the Browning disk on a Jordan domain omega is a so-called Liouville field on the domain. And this Liouville field induces a random geometry on this domain, which is now known as a pure Liouville quantum gravity. And more generally, we can consider a one-parameter deformation of pure Liouville quantum gravity as follows. So we can consider the formal property density on the space of order many manifold given by the determinant of Laplacian to some power. This power is minus C over 2. And this this models the two-dimensional quantum gravity coupled with a matter field. And this constant C is a so-called central charge for the matter field. Okay. And the pure quantum gravity corresponding to the case C equal to 0. Okay. The non-rigorous Liouville quantum gravity in 1980s led to many unexpected but spectacular consequences in two-dimensional probability theory. For example, in order to exactly solve the Liouville field, Balyev and Polyakov and Zamolodchikov, they developed the conformal field theory. And the CFT is at the center of many important developments in mathematics and theoretical physics since 1980s. In particular, CFT gave a deep prediction on the scaling limits of 2D lattice models in statistical physics. One of them is a so-called Kadi formula in 2D percolation, which will be important later. And on the other hand, Kiesnick, Polyakov, and Zamolodchikov, they show that the scaling dimension of a fractal on the LQG random geometry and the ordinary Euclidean geometry, they have an explicit relation, which we now call the KBZ relation. It provides a powerful framework to study fractals. So in 1982, Mandelbrot conjectured that the frontier of the planar Brownian motion has fractal dimension for third. So here is a simulation of a planar Brownian motion stop at a certain time. And then the frontier is just the outer boundary of this trajectory. And Mandelbrot conjectured that the dimension is for third. And in 1998, the physicist Duplantier, he gave a physical proof of Mandelbrot's conjecture based on the KBZ relation. The proof is very short. It just so for some reason, the quantum dimension of the Brownian frontier is easy to compute. It's given by 1/2. And then you just apply it to this KBZ relation. You get for third. This is the proof. And so in 2000, Lawler, Schramm, Werner, they proved Mandelbrot's conjecture rigorously. Using a mechanism called the Schramm-Lorner evolution, which is now known as SLE. SLE is a family of random planar curves discovered by Schramm, which revolutionized probability theory in two dimension. And SLE-6, the particular SLE in their proof, this will also play an important role in understanding the pure LQG. Historically, Duplantier's magical proof was an important reason why probabilists did not give up attacking the Mandelbrot conjecture and why they are so eager to understand LQG. Okay, so we have two approaches to the Liouville quantum gravity. The first one is a discrete. So we first want to discretize the notion of the surface, and then we discretize the notion of conformal embedding, and then we try to take a scaling limit, as in the Brownian bridge case. And the other one is the continuous one. So here, what we want to do is we want to write down the formal property density of the conformal factor, which is the Liouville field, and then we try to make step one rigorous, and then we try to find the conformal geometry corresponding to the Liouville field. And then we want to show that these two approaches, they are the same. they provide the same geometry. Okay, so the natural notion of discrete random surface is a so-called random planar map. So here, a planar map is an embedded planar graph on the plane up to a orientation preserving continuous deformation. And this is a so-called triangulation of a polygon, which is a planar map where every face is a triangle, except there is a outer face which has P edges. And in our talk, we will mainly focus on triangulation polygons. And the natural discrete analog of Brownian disk will be this uniform triangulation. So here we consider the uniform sample from the set of triangulations with square root of n boundary edges and n vertices, and the three distinct marked boundary vertices. So here, and then we consider this measure mu n as to be the normalized counting measure on the vertex set, and we consider the nu n as the normalized counting measure on the boundary set, and we consider the dn to be the normalized graph metric on the vertex. So here, this exponent 1, 1/2, and 1/4, they appear to be the right scaling relation to ensure there is a non-trivial continuous limit. And we include these three boundary points to make sure that we can specify the conformal embedding uniquely. Okay. And so what's a discrete notion of conformal embedding? Actually, the conformal embedding is essentially a way of defining a injective holomorphic function from a surface to the complex plane. And in a continuum, there are many equivalent ways of defining the holomorphic function, in the discrete, they will lead to non-equivalent ways of defining a discrete conformal embedding. But the belief is that under different notions of discrete conformal embeddings, as n tends to infinity, the random geometry induced by this uniform triangulation under that embedding, they will converge to the same continuous object, which we will call the pure Liouville quantum gravity. So this is one example of the discrete conformal embedding. So given a triangulation of a polygon, we can imagine every triangle is like an equilateral triangle. And then this triangulation will become a piecewise smooth manifold. This is a larger example. Given this piecewise linear manifold, and this for a Jordan domain with three boundary marked points, we can just define the discrete conformal embedding to be the conformal embedding from this piecewise manifold to this Jordan domain. And the existence is guaranteed by the uniformization theorem. Okay. So now, since we have the conformal embedding, we can just define the push forward of the metric measure triples, this volume measure, this boundary measure, and this metric. And then the conjecture is that this metric measure triple, they will jointly converge to a continuum limit on this Jordan domain. So here, d omega is a random metric on this Jordan domain, and the mu omega is a random volume measure on the Jordan domain, and the nu omega is a random boundary measure on the Jordan domain. And this triple is universal. It doesn't depend on the particular conformal embedding you take. And this will be the pure LQG on the this conformal coordinate. Are there any questions about this conjecture? Okay, so here is another more interesting example of a conformal embedding, which is called a circle packing. So this is a theorem of this is a so-called circle packing theorem, saying that every triangulation can be uniquely represented as a tangency relation between circles. So here, we should imagine every vertex is a circle, and then the tangent relation are edges. So this means a triangle here. And this is like a triangulation. And this theorem says that every triangulation can be represented in this way. And then Thurston conjecture that a circle packing is a discrete conformal embedding. So his more precise conjecture is that suppose we have a Jordan domain, and suppose we use a regular triangulation to discretize the domain, and then we use this hexagon lattice to represent these triangulations. We're using this circle packing, and then by circle packing theorem, this triangulation can be mapped to a circle packing on a unit disk. And the Thurston's conjecture is that as this size of the circle shrink, this map will converge into the Riemann map. And this is proved by Rudy and Sullivan. Because of this theorem, we think that circle packing is a discrete notion of conformal embedding. And then our conjecture, conjecture means that suppose we consider a uniform triangulation with size n, and then we use circle packing to just draw it on this plane, then the this counting measure over the circle centers, they will converge to some random measure, and the graph distance, they will also convert to some random metric on this unit disk, and similar for this boundary measure. And the continuum limit is a universal object which we call pure Lever quantum gravity on this unit disk. Okay, so this is a summary of the current status of Lever quantum gravity in probability. First of all, for every central charge between minus infinity and to one, including the pure RQG, in the continuum, the random geometry has been rigorously constructed, including the metric measure and the two measures and the random metric. And for C equal to one, which is the critical case, it is mathematically incomplete, but it is still interesting and tractable. And for C bigger than one, my impression is that it is still not well understood even in physics, and it's not so clear whether it is interesting. Okay, and on the scaling limit side, so last year, Nina Holden and myself, we proved that the aforementioned scaling limit conjecture holds under the conformal embedding called Kadi embedding. And Kadi embedding is a discrete conformal embedding arising from Smirnov's proof of the Kadi formula. Okay. And for general, for every C smaller than one, this notion of determinant of Laplacian to this power, it still have some natural discretization, which is the partition function of some lattice models whose central charge is given by C. For example, when C equal to 1/2, we can imagine this determinant of Laplacian to this power. We can think of it as the partition function of the critical icing model on this planar map. And then we can have a similar scaling limit conjectures for CLQG. So far, any other variant of this conjecture remains open, regardless of the value of C and the choice of the embedding. Okay, so in the rest of the lecture, I will focus on two things. I will first give the continuous definition of the Lever quantum gravity for C smaller than one, and then I will tell the story behind the Kadi embedding. And finally, I will try to give an overview of the proof if I have time. Otherwise, I will just give some outlook. Okay, so we're going to try to start defining this Lever quantum gravity rigorously, the basic trouble is that the LQG literature in Latin, it is in theoretical physics, is very hard to understand for probabilists. But remarkably, pioneered by Sheffield, probabilists are able to construct the very quantum gravity using only a very weak clue from theoretical physics. And the clue we use is that the volume measure, nu omega on this Jordan domain on C zero quantum gravity, is given by the following form. So there's a parameter gamma. You have e to the gamma h, and then this h omega is a Gaussian free field plus a certain continuous function. And this parameter gamma is one-to-one corresponding to C between 0 and 2. So in physics literature, this gamma corresponding to another parameter, which is B. So the parameter B in the physics literature is equal to gamma over 2. Okay, so the Gaussian free field is a generalization of the Browning bridge. Formally speaking, it is a random function chosen from this Hilbert space and with this density. And so similar to Browning bridge case, the Gaussian free field does not really belong to this Hilbert space, but we can nevertheless use a Fourier expansion to make sense of Gaussian free field. So here we just consider a autonomous basis of this Hilbert space, and then we consider this random Fourier series whose coefficients are given by independent Gaussians. Okay. But there is a big difference between Gaussian free field and the Browning bridge, which is the Gaussian free. So this convergence of random series, it's only in the sense of Schwarz distribution. In particular, for every point z in the domain, this hz is not really well defined as a value. What is well defined is the average value of over a circle center at z. And you can compute that the variance of this circle average is actually equal to minus log r, which is blowing up as r times 0. And this is a simulation of a circle average version of the Gaussian free field. Okay. And so I want to mention that our definition of Gaussian free field is not really canonical, because we have this condition and the average over the domain equal to 0. But this condition can be replaced by other normalizing conditions. And we can also consider other variants of Gaussian free field and operators of various boundary conditions. But all these variants, we can show that they only differ by some additive continuous function. And recall our clue from physics, the volume measure of Liouville quantum gravity is given by this e to the gamma h dx dy. So here, we only know that h is a Gaussian free field plus a certain continuous function. So our plan is to first make sense of this random volume measure for the Gaussian free field. And then we just modify h properly to get this canonical Liouville field. And this strategy will not depend on any particular definition of Gaussian free field. Okay. So the volume measure is made sense of by Dupontian Sheffield. This is the first mathematical paper in the Liouville quantum gravity. So in this paper, they show that if H is a Gaussian free field and this gamma is between 0 and 2, then suppose we consider this circle average version of the Gaussian free field, which is a continuous function, and then this random measure, so after this proper normalized it will converge to a non-trivial random measure on this domain. And here, the reason we choose this normalization is because the variance of this circle average Gaussian free field is equal to minus log r. So this normalization will make sure that the average is a order one. And this theorem falls into the general framework of the so-called Gaussian manipulated chaos. The parameter range gamma between 0 and 2 is actually sharp. So for gamma bigger or equal to 2, this random measure will actually converge into some trivial measure in probability. Okay. And in the same paper, Duban and Sheffield, they formulate and proved the first mathematically rigorous version of KBC relation, according to which this quantum dimension of the Brownian frontier is actually 1/2. Okay. This is a illustration of the random measure in the Virchow gravity. So here, different box of different colors, they have different Euclidean size, but they are made so that their mass under this random measure are same. Okay. And this picture should be compared with this picture in circle packing. So here, different circle, they have different Euclidean size, but they actually occupy the same quantum mass. Their quantum mass are both equal to 1 over n. And it's conceivable that they have the same continuum limit, but it's still open now. Okay, so in the quantum gravity, there is still a similar coordinate change. So suppose gamma, suppose omega theta is another similar connected domain, and suppose omega theta and omega are related by this simple this conformal map, then the suppose we have another Gaussian field related to the original Gaussian free field by this relation. Then we know that the induced random measure is a push forward of this measure. So here, suppose this conformal factor H is a smooth function, then this value Q would be 2 over gamma, just by classical differential geometry. But here, this Q has to be equal to 2 over gamma plus gamma over 2. And this comes from the normalization of R to the gamma square over 2 in the definition of the random measure. Okay. So now, given this coordinate change formula, we can also try to define the random boundary measure. And so we start with gamma theta equal to upper half plane. And then on the boundary of the upper half plane, which is a real line, we can use this similar regularization procedure to define this random boundary measure. And then we can use this coordinate change formula, similar just given by here. We can use this coordinate change formula to define the boundary measure on a arbitrary Jordan domain. And here, this constant 1/2 is chosen so that this boundary measure does not depend on the choice of this conformal map. And this is unique. Okay. So now it remains to define the random metric. So this is a recent theorem by Green and Miller. They show that there exists a constant bigger than 2, so that this normalized version of the metric under certain normalizing constant, it also have a non-trivial scaling limit, the DH, which is a random metric. And then moreover, this random metric satisfies this Q version of the conformal coordinate change. Again, if H is only a smooth conformal factor, then this dim should be equal to 2 according to differential geometry. But because of the quantum effect, we need some constant bigger than 2. Okay, so we can notice that this random metric was constructed more than 10 years later than the construction of the random measures. And the reason is, so the main challenge is because geodesic is very sensitive to perturbation. So it's very hard to show that this guy actually has a non-trivial scaling limit. This is only done very recently by this series of papers. Okay. And the constant dim in front of this definition of a random metric is the Hausdorff dimension of this metric measure space. And we only know that if gamma equal to square root of a third, the dimension is equal to 4. And this gamma equal to square root of a third, it corresponding to the case C equal to 0, which is the pure LQG case. If I have time, I will explain later why pure LQG is better understood. Okay, so now we know that suppose we have a conformal map, then between this metric measure triples, this conformal map, it gives the isomorphism. So these two metric measure triple, they can be thought of as two different conformal coordinates of the same random geometry on the topological closed disk. And the remaining question is to find the canonical random geometry, right? So here, this H is only a Gaussian free field, which is not canonical. And we want to find the canonical random field, which is the Lewis field. And so the idea was from Sheffield. And the idea is to mimic the construction in the random simulation setup. So for example, we can consider a Gaussian free field on this unit disk. And then we condition on the event that this volume, this quantum volume is equal to n, and the quantum boundary length is equal to square root of n. This is the analog of assuming that the number of vertices is equal to n, and the number of boundary edges is equal to n. Okay, and then we consider this normalized measure and metrics. Okay, so, and then we also uniformly sample 3 points on the boundary, and then we just use Riemann mapping to map this setup to this Jordan domain. And now we can, and then we can consider the metric measure triple under this conformal map. And then it's very easy, it's actually not very hard to show that this metric measure triple have a limit. And this will be what we call the random parameter geometry corresponding to the CLQT. So this is a mathematical construction of the CLQG. And the reason we want to mimic the discrete setup is to make sure that the metric measure triple in the CLQG, they satisfy some symmetry which is inconsistent with the scaling limit conjecture. And so I will not go into the details of this symmetry, but this particular symmetry is one of the symmetry that has to be satisfied by any scaling limit of this random parameter map under conformal embeddings. Okay. And now this, so now we can find a field, which is a Gaussian free field plus a particular continuous function, so that this this metric measure triple can be written as coming from this field. And we call this particular field the Lewis field for CLQG. And this concludes the mathematical construction of the CLQG. Okay. So coming back to physics, this Lewis field defined in the previous slide, it's also consistent with the Lewis quantum gravity from theoretical physics. So in theoretical, according to Polyakov, this probability density of the Lewis field should be proportional to this density given by the so-called Lewis action. And following Polyakov's proposal, these mathematicians and physicists, they rigorously constructed this Lewis field by making sense of this functional integral. And we showed that these two mathematical constructions of the Lewis field are the same. Okay. So now coming back to the scaling limit conjecture. So here, this is a uniformly sampled triangulation with a boundary vertex square root of n and a total number of vertex n. And we just normalize this measure and matrix by this scaling exponent. In the continuum, so we set this gamma equal to square root of a third, which corresponding to central charge equal to zero. And then this is the definition of the continuum metric and measures. And here the scaling relation is consistent with this scaling exponent. And our theorem shows that this metric measure triple under this Caddy embedding will converge to this pure de Broglie quantum gravity. Okay. So how much time do I have?
Okay, 15 minutes.
Okay, thank you. So in the rest of my talk, I will first tell you the definition of the Caddy embedding, and then I will give some outlook. Okay. So the Caddy embedding is related to a simple model called percolation. So here, a site percolation is a graph on a graph is a black-white coloring of its vertex. And we can also consider the so-called bound percolation, which is coloring edges. But in my talk, I will mostly focus on site percolation. So given P between 0 and 1, the so-called Bernoulli P site percolation is so we color each vertex white independently with probability P. Understanding the connectivity property of Bernoulli percolation on large graphs is one of the fundamental questions in probability. So Bernoulli site percolation on the planar triangular lattice is one of the most interesting and understood percolation models due to the work of these people. Okay, so here, this is an example of the site percolation on a piece of triangular lattice restricted to a Jordan domain. And in this picture, we are considering the so-called left-right white crossing, which is a white path separating the boundary point A, B, and C, D. So, and suppose delta is the side length of these hexagons. By the way, so here I'm using the hexagon tiling to represent these triangular lattice. So here, every hexagon should be thought of as a vertex of the triangular lattice. And this is like the site percolation on the triangular lattice where we color the vertex. And it's, And then, so suppose delta is this site length of the hexagon, and we just let this quantity to be the probability of the left to right white crossing. And then this is a famous theorem due to Kasten. So he shows that when p is bigger than 1/2, this crossing probability is 10 into 1, meaning that with overwhelmingly chance, the white crossing will happen. So the white will eventually dominate. And if p is smaller than 1/2, the black will dominate, so you will have no white crossing. And in the p equal to 1/2 case, this is a so-called critical case. Something interesting is happening. So the this crossing probability will have a non-trivial limit. And so based on the simulation of Longlands and other people, Eisenman conjectured that in the criticality, this crossing probability actually have a scaling limit, and it is conformally invariant, meaning it only depends on the cross ratio of these four points. And using the non-rigorous conformal field theory, which is a theory originally developed to study Liouville theory, Caddy derived the exact limiting formula of the crossing probability in the case of rectangles. And then based on conformal invariance, we can just understand all the crossing probabilities. So in 2001, in the very famous paper of Smirnov, he proved a Kadi formula by proving the following more powerful theorem. So let's consider the unique conformal map from a Jordan domain with three mark point to this equilateral triangle on the first quadrant of this R3 space. Okay, this is a equilateral triangle and with the three corners. Okay, and then so for every point Z in the closure of this Jordan domain, we can consider three probabilities. So this PAZ, it represents the probability that there exists a white path separating AZ and BC. And then we just rotate ABC to get the other two numbers. Okay. And the theorem of Smirnov says that these three numbers, as a function, if delta times zero, it converges to this conformal map. And in particular, if you just set Z equal to D, and then this PCD is just equal to this white crossing probability. And then according to Smirnov's theorem, it converges to this conformal map evaluated at D. And now suppose this domain is a rectangle, then Christoph Schwarz's theorem gives the Kadi formula rigorously. Okay. So similar to Rudy and Sullivan's theorem for circle packing, Smirnov's theorem offers a constructive proof of the Riemann mapping theorem by providing the approximation of the Riemann map, right? And this gives our definition of the Kadi embedding. So here, basically for every triangulation with three boundary marked point, we can also consider the so-called Bernoulli site percolation. And then for every vertex on this map, we can still consider the separation probability in this Smirnov's theorem. And then the Kadi embedding is just given by these three numbers. This is a embedding from this topological planar map into this equilateral triangle. And our theorem says that under this conformal embedding, as this size of the triangulation tends to infinity, the this matching major triple, it will converge to the matching major triple given by the pure Lyapunov gravity. So this is a full statement of our theorem. Okay, so probably, so I will not have much time to say much about the proof, but maybe I will just say some more things about other directions in Lyapunov gravity. So basically there are three remaining problems in Lyapunov gravity. The first one is to understand the random metric when C is not equal to zero. So we know that the dimension of this random metric matrix space when gamma equal to square root of a third, which is corresponding to the pure gravity case, we know that the dimension is equal to four. And the reason we know that is because if you consider the uniform triangulation, it has a combinatorial bijections to some trees. And this and under this combinatorial bijection, the metric geometry of the random triangulation are encoded by some very nice quantities on the side of trees. And on the side of trees, we can do exact commutation. So you can think of the metric matter geometry for pure gravity as a solver model. So everything can be computed. But this is no longer true when C is not equal to zero. And because of this, we know nothing about the random geometry for C not equal to zero. And we also know nothing about the skinny limit of random planar map. Okay. This is one important direction. And so another important direction is we can consider the Lyapunov quantum gravity on non-simply connected surfaces. For example, we can consider the so-called Brownian torus. So here, a Brownian torus, it is just we consider the uniform measure on the triangulations on torus, and then we consider the scaling limit of that. But here, there is a new interesting factor, which is the random moduli. So since the torus have a non-trivial moduli space, so the law of the moduli will be non-trivial too. And in physics, there are some predictions about the moduli, and this is something people are trying to prove, but this is still a very difficult question. And you can also ask this question for other non-symmetric connected surfaces. And so a third very important direction is to make sense of the so-called conformal bootstrap for Liouville conformal field theory. So here, so this is related to a previous slide. Let me see. Right. So these mathematicians, they followed Polyakov's proposal to use probability to define the Liouville correlation functions. So they basically they can make sense of these functional integrals using the so-called Gaussian monotonic chaos, and then in that framework, they can rigorously define the so-called Liouville correlation function. And then, so according to this conformal bootstrap program, so these four-point correlation function can be computed using the three-point correlation function plus the conformal block. And also for a torus correlation function can also be computed by the three-point correlation function and the torus conformal block. And you can generalize to arbitrary genus with arbitrarily many marked points. And in this direction, so one important progress is that, So these mathematicians recently, they are able to rigorously derive the so-called DUZD formula, which is the structural constant for the three-point correlation function in the Liouville theory. And recently we gave a probabilistic definition of the so-called Liouville conformal block on the torus case. And it's consistent with this AGT conjecture and the time logic of recursion. But the full program of conformal bootstrap is still largely open. And this is another important direction. Okay, so I will just stop here. Thank you for your attention.
Conjecture, where does the fourth
hertz
come from?
Oh, okay. So this is a very good question. So in the Mandelbrot conjecture, so what Mandelbrot did is that so he did some simulation on the Brownian frontier, and then he just somehow think that the Brownian frontier should be similar to the so-called self-avoiding walk. And then he further did some simulation on self-avoiding walk, and he concluded that the self-avoiding walk has dimension for third. So this is the reason how he conjectured the dimension.
So which tools, which techniques do you use for these proofs?
Oh, so the proofs? So I think the proof is by, for example, this dimension fractals is very related to some right event in probability. And basically, so what Lauder, Schramm, Werner, they did is that they first showed that these outer boundaries of the Brownian frontier is related to the so-called SLE for kappa equal to a third. So they have a way of writing down the law of the curve. And then this dimension is related to the decaying rate of some rare event for this curve. And the decaying rate of the rare event can be characterized using some index of a hypergeometric ODE.
David, had you meant Mandelbrot's conjecture?
I meant these
results of Mendelscaler.
Yes.
I think he meant your results about the scaling.
Oh, my result. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for this question. So the idea is basically right. So I actually have these slides. So maybe I can try to say something. So this idea is basically based on the so-called universality of percolation. So Smirnov's proof of the Cardy formula, it also shows that the percolation interface, so the percolation and the criticality, they actually have a continuum limit. And the continuum limit of the planar percolation is what we call the SLD6. And it is believed that the SLD6 is the universal scaling limit of a large class of Bernoulli percolation on planar graphs. And it is believed that if you have a uniformly sampled random triangulation, and then with high probability, this random triangulation will fall into this universality class of this planar maps, of this planar graphs where the scaling limit of the percolation is SLD6. And then, then the ideas is that, so we first prove that this random triangulation, they converge to this Liouville quantum gravity under some embedding, which is not related to the Cardy embedding. So we just consider the the best possible embedding that you, which is most close to the Liouville quantum gravity, and you can show that under that kind of embedding, the random geometry converges to this geometry given by the Liouville quantum gravity, and then you show that under that abstract embedding, the percolation actually convert to SLD6. And then you know that the Cardy embedding, it is, so by definition, the Cardy embedding is like the embedding where the percolation have a best chance to convert to the SLD6. And then, so the only possibility is that the Cardy embedding is also very close to the embedding that you can show convergence to the quantum gravity. This is basically the outline.
Okay. Any questions? I have another one. Liouville theory is believed to be integrable and related to the quantum FN algebra of SE2. Does this play any role in your story?
So I think it has doesn't have much to do with the random geometry side, but I think if you want to pursue the directional conformal bootstrap, then there might be some relation there, right? So here in our framework is mainly just the random geometry in similarly connected surface. For example, even for non-similarly connected surface, we don't know how to derive the random modulus yet.
Okay, so let's thank Jin again.
Okay, thank you very much.